This is nothing to do with the armour of God, I must say. It's something I wrote for the church for New Year. Another year has passed and gone. We look back in surprise. Our lives flash past so quickly, snapshots before our eyes. We've had to deal with COVID in all its convolutions, with government and scientists awash with great solutions. There's been a lot of backlash, anxiety, and fright. While people queue for vaccinations, face masks clasped on tight. Old Father Time is on a roll and speeding up, it seems. The old year is behind us with its sadness and its dreams. We trust the new year is a time of healthiness and hope. When times of trial come along, our faith can help us cope. We trust the God of miracles, but our vision seems quite slim. But hang on tight, enjoy the ride, the future's known to him. So this year is before us, sealed with promises of aid. God said, I'll never leave you, so do not be dismayed. What doors will yet be opened? If we have faith to see in families and churches, the wide community. So what do we expect to see in 2022? Our Father God is ageless and his promises are true.
Yes. Am I buzzing? Is that all right? Yes. Can you see what's on the screen there? Only 350 days, 15 days to Christmas. Now, I thought I would bring that to your attention because time is slipping by. Have you done your Christmas shopping? That's the message of the commercial world out there. We were in Marks and Spencer in January and the Easter eggs are out. Now, what pressure. So, what we're saying this morning is in 2022, just one day at a time, Jesus says, take it one day at a time. Now, I'm going to start right at the beginning here with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, because I think it's essential that it's presented in a way which everybody can understand. Only yesterday, we have twins, grandsons, they're 5 years old, and they rushed in to our accommodation. Because they never learned to walk. They went from crawling to running, and they've been running ever since. And they rushed through our accommodation, destroyed it. But yesterday they rushed in and said to Phoebe, how does Jesus get into everybody's house? What a challenge. How would you have answered that? How does Jesus get into everybody's house? Unfortunately, there was a fight between them as to who was going to ask the question. But I also noticed that they went to Phoebe for spiritual counsel. So, here's what Jesus said. This is the simplicity of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come to me if you are tired out by the heavy burden you have been carrying, and I will give you rest. Accept my teachings and learn of me. I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you will be able to get some rest. Sometimes we complicate the gospel with all sorts of requirements. But the first thing is, Jesus says, come to me if you are tired and heavy laden. Is that absolutely simple? Do you know, because people, I was watching on YouTube a person who had been a drug dealer, and he was completely detached from anything Christian. But in desperation, he cried out to the Lord Jesus. That's all he did. And now he is a worship leader and a preacher. That simple cry out, come to me if you're tired and heavy laden. The trouble is that we are very cynical now. I don't know, do you get cynical? We get all these things on the telephone. Our Amazon Prime account has got £79 on it. Press one and then, you know, your world will absolutely be redeemed completely. If you do that, it won't, of course.
And then we get Microsoft. A nice man from Microsoft keeps telling me I've got a problem. There's also a nice woman from BT who keeps telling me I've got a problem. So we get very, very cynical, don't we? And we think there are terms and conditions attached to everything. We have the joy of a new cat. Because the previous one passed away. But we had a new cat. And so Phoebe was trying to get cat insurance. And here, you see, I give you a little advice on worldly things, getting cat insurance. So I heard this conversation going on. And on the other end of the telephone, the question was, will the cat go outside? Yes. But it's not covered if it goes outside. Very good insurance, that, isn't it? Why isn't it covered when it goes outside? Well, because cats have more accidents outside than they do within the house. So, what a very good insurance. But you have to take it to the vet twice a year for a checkup. But it's not insured when you take it outside, of course. So there's another risk. And then also the costs start to escalate, don't it? We have a lovely deck in Crowning, I must say. But, you know, it's the usual thing. Oh, good morning, I see you brought your cat in. £90. Sorry? What's £90 for? Identifying the species. So we become very cynical, don't we? And when we preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, which says, come to me if you're tired out and heavy, burdened, and I will give you rest. We think, what are the terms and conditions? He just says, learn of me. So here we are. Hopefully there's a clarity of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ here. Now the little figures that you can see up there, one is debt. Now we've had at Framley Community Baptist Church, we've had a little campaign writing to our MP about the proliferation of bingo adverts. Every advertising part of the television programs saying, come and join with bingo. You can join with your friends and everybody's looking happy. And you think, oh, I'd love to play bingo because it will make me so happy and I'm going to win. And then I'll be even more happy. What a con. And it says, in the small print, gamble responsibly. Do you know, it is destroying people's lives, isn't it? We have become a gambling culture. It destroys people's lives. And this can be a debt burden for people that they take on and they don't realize the damage they are doing to themselves. I used to, in fact, in Ipswich, I was an estate manager for the house department. I used to manage 3,000 houses around in Ipswich. And one of the things that I was involved with, because estate manager, we had to counsel people if they got into debt. Surprisingly, few people got into serious debt. I mean, there was always variations. There were people who got into debt, and we had to counsel them before we took them to court. Now, this is quite a burdensome thing, because if you're trying to persuade somebody that there is no need for these things to happen like this, because there was housing benefit and everything else, but they will not accept that there is help at hand. Can you see how much that is like the gospel? If we cannot help accept that there is help at hand, we will not progress. This morning, I expect you're all Christians here, but let's make it very clear that the Lord Jesus is waiting there. I've also put in the middle there just two little hearts with wearing a mask. That has been a burden, hasn't it? It's still a burden to us. People have been isolated. Isolation is a terrible thing. And there is another issue. There is expectations. Do you know, sometimes we have expectations that are a burden to us. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, put these burdens down. I'll have a look at the second slide, if we may. So, I'm amazed that most of you knew that song, because when I sent it to Diane, I said, you'll be too young to remember this, a dedicated follower of fashion. But here is what it says, isn't it? Now, interestingly, it's now Sir Raymond Davis, isn't it, who put this together. So he's actually making a very important message here. They seek him here, they seek him there, his clothes are loud and never square. But the point of the song was that this person was so committed to fashionable clothing that he's actually exhausting all his resources. And here's the contrast, isn't it? Contrast with the dedicated follower of fashion. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is day by day again. The idea of day by day comes in again. So that was where the context of the dedicated follower of fashion came into our service this morning. And the contrast, do not be conformed to this world. We'll move on now. And here we have, we are all subject to changes in fashion, aren't we? All subject to it. Now, as you can see, I'm actually a fashion icon. And I've been dressing the same since I was about 20. So about every 25 years, I do come into fashion. I'm not quite sure if I'm in my 25th year of being in fashion at the moment. But you will judge. But I look out and I see you. Oh, so many of you are dedicated followers of fashion. But I know as Christians, fashion will not have taken over your lives, will you? You've got it all under control. You just need to buy what you need to buy, like Phoebe does, from charity shops, possibly. The only problem with that is we have all the Next fans coming down into our yard, and I have to direct the traffic. There's Next and Amazon and this sort of thing. But fortunately, all those things then go out through to the charity shop. So it's a nice way of recycling, isn't it, that you can develop with fashion. Now look on the, which side will that be? If I turn to that. Yeah, it'll be on the left-hand side. Can you see those ladies there in those elegant clothing? That's from about 1950s. And the fashion, I think it was entirely appropriate, wasn't it? Because this is post-war, and everybody had to drab and dress in drab clothing, and then suddenly this was this explosion of colour and everything. And I think that was entirely appropriate. I was at Saxton School in those days, and I remember for special occasions, the girls came in with all these petticoats and things, and they were so thrilled to come to school in these, but it would be only for a party. And then they would have to go back to drab again. And they were so excited, perhaps once a term, when they could put on these clothes, these lovely fashionable things that are coming. At the top there, can you see that old black telephone? Did anybody ever have one of those? Yeah. Oh, good, yeah. So, actually, confession of that may suggest that you are mature, mate. But we had one, and could you believe that our home telephone number was Earl Soham 346? Now, that means there were very few people on the telephone in our area. But that was an icon to have that particular telephone. Very few people had it. And then, of course, we move on to the other side of this equation, where you can see the modern telephone. I'm going to show you something. I'll impress you. It's down here. I bring it up here. Younger people won't know what this is. Do you know what that is?
Yes.
Yeah, that used to be a mobile phone in 17 years ago. But isn't it amazing? It's been charged and discharged 2,000 times. And do you know what it does? It makes phone calls. Absolutely incredible. Now, one can spend an awful lot of money on telephones. And I don't realise I've got to the point of being ridiculous. Because The thing is that the world's moved on, and I've not moved on because the bank keeps saying you've got to have an app or something. Because it means something about you can do your bank online. I mean, I do it on a computer, but I don't like walking about with a device that's got my bank details on. But I suppose that I will have to become old fashioned. Now, the other thing is that I felt that I should bring you in touch with what fashion will look like for this coming year. And can you see those three lovely dressed people? It's now, you don't have, no, you should not identify the sex of the person by the clothes they're wearing. So this is how you've got to dress when you go out shopping next time. So it's universal clothing. I'm not sure how my legs are going to fit into those. But we've got to try. Okay, let's move on again. What if being worry-free was fashionable? Now, on one side, can you see those jeans? They say there, if it makes sense to you, can you see they're all ripped and torn? If it makes sense to you, then you must be off. Because our granddaughter wanted distressed jeans. And so we did our best to get them. But then the ones that we identified were too long. They had to be distressed at the edge of the bottom of it. And it was very, very specific. Now, I've had some jeans like that in my time, but they were for gardening. And these ones are only £44. Now, does that make any sense? No, well, of course, if you're a young person, I'm just looking. He's got good jeans on, this young man, hasn't he? He hasn't got any ribs. But it makes sense in some ways. But now let's look at Corinthians. Very important. If you buy something, it should not matter to you that you own it. Do you know, I hadn't really spotted that before. It doesn't matter to you if you own it. You should use these things of the world without letting them become important to you. Live like this to be worry-free. And I think there's so much sense in that, isn't it? As this is how we should live. Regrettably, this is not the way of the world just now, but it will not last forever. Now I can show you something else, which is quite amazing. This is a wristwatch. I think it's 15 years old, and I think it cost Phoebe £15 because I didn't find the receipt when she bought it for my birthday. 15 years old. The write-off on that is just £1 a year. Now, I looked up a Cartier, which looks like this, and it was, just check this figure, £30,000. Now, can you see that if I was, I could pretend it's a Cartier, but if I was wearing this at £30,000, it would own me, wouldn't it? The watch would own me. I wouldn't own the watch. I'd be thinking, checking it all the time, is it still there? Somebody nicked it? Or have I damaged it? This one has been in the gearbox of my mower. And still, I have no worries about it. But if it had been a Cartier, would I have done that? Of course not. So can you see how important this little part of the scripture is? If you want to be worry-free, don't let the things of the world own you. And you know, I'm preaching to you about this, but I mean, the things of the world frequently own me, but I try to resist it. Shall we move on? Now, this is about the full armour of God. Can you see the armour in St. Paul's time? It was appropriate for what the Roman army required. Can you see how a current soldier is dressed today with all that gear on compared with the Roman soldier? Because we're fighting a different battle. But here I say, beware, the enemy is the same, but he too is dressed differently. Now this is something that I found to be rather odd. I thought it was one of those hypes from the Daily Mail. Has anybody ever read the Daily Mail? Do you know of it? It's a newspaper. And it makes strong comments. One day the police are wonderful and the next day they're all corrupt. So that's the way the Daily Mail works. But this is a story that the European Union wished to ban the term Christmas. And that was actually real. I could not believe that it was real. And why did they want to ban the term Christmas? Because it might offend atheists. And because there are so many different nationalities coming into Germany, over a million, who were not of the Christian faith, we might offend them, and therefore we should neutralize the term to having a holiday. It would be the seasonal holiday. And we've got to get this idea of the Christian culture out of our mind. Bearing in mind, Angela Merkel is in the party called the Christian Democrats. So how is this going to work out? Now, I'm saying, you know, we're going to see the enemy is different, isn't it? But the problem is the same. Now, so interestingly, the thing went flat because the Pope, which I regard he's quite a good man, he intervened and said, this is not appropriate. And then it all sort of faded away. But we've got to watch out in society that people want to, I think it's called woke. It wants to dissolve, as it were, the Christian aspect of our nation. So what I'm saying here is beware the enemy. The enemy is the same, but it looks different. So let's press on now to getting dressed. Now, how many of you, because I don't, how many of you, when you get up in the morning, you rush out to the co-op in your pyjamas? No? Is it no takers? No. But interestingly, we rush out into the world, don't we? And we don't put on the armour of God. Put on the full armour of God. Now, when it comes to the attractive belt and truth with the integrity buckle, truth is attractive, isn't it? Now, I think when I sit down and think, I've got a dilemma about the truth, and I've got a dilemma about integrity. And I think to myself, now what would Boris Johnson do? And I think, best to do the opposite. Because hasn't truth and integrity been challenged? And one of the ways in which we as Christians can stand out is if we stick to the truth and integrity. I learned a lesson because as an estate manager for Ipswich Borough Council, we were allowed to prosecute for rent arrears. That's about the only thing we could do. We used to have solicitors do it, but we could go into court and deal with rent arrears. And the challenge there is that you promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And if you stood before the judge and gave an opinion, he would say, I'm not interested in your opinions, we need the facts of the matter. And so often we can express an opinion about people that are negative. I'm sure we've all done it, haven't we? But the truth is not within that. The truth is represented by this. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Who said that? The Lord Jesus. There is the absolute truth. We will stray from it. And then I thought it would be the waistcoat of righteousness. It's going to be attractive, but righteousness has become unattractive, isn't it? Because we've been seen as self-righteous. But it has to be as good as it looks. Our righteousness has to be as good as it looks. And then, do you know DMs are? Doc Martens. Right on the money there, yes. We need the Doc Martens on our feet because we need the traction of the gospel, don't we? We can't wobble around on our high heels as we like to in private. We must put on the Doc Martens for the traction of the gospel of peace. And then the shield of faith. It's a horrendous world out there on the media. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. But there is so much damage done. And my heart goes out to young people because they will get bad messages, won't they? And what we must do, we must have the shield of faith to divert these things. I'm so modern, I'm not actually on social media yet. I'm thinking I shall go to the next generation of social media, not this one, who's passed away. And then we need the hard hat. If you go on a building site, what do? You put on a hard hat. And this is to protect our minds. And I mentioned in our reading, the television, there's a lot of stuff that, because I'm such a wimp, I can't watch. And I don't watch it because I want to sleep and it disturbs me. But the danger is that we do watch things that cause us disturbance. This is where we need the hard hat of salvation. And then the sword of the Spirit is faster than 5G. I mean, there will be 6G eventually. And the sword of the Spirit will be faster than that. And it's the point at which we call out to God for assistance. The sword of the Spirit. So when each morning we have to get properly dressed before as Christians when we go out. So looking at the best Christians dressed here today, that's what we've got to put on tomorrow morning. And then finally, brethren and sisters, as we used to say in the brethren, become as little children and see the funny side of life. Because what I've noticed is that we interpret the word of God, don't we? And I wonder if God looks at us with amusement and says, how did you get that so wrong? Here's a three-year-old. I like this one. Our Father, who does art in heaven, Harold is his name. Now, you can understand it, but it's a misinterpretation. And so often we misinterpret the word of God. Lead us not into temptation, she prayed, but deliver us from evil. Now, isn't that such a true? It may be a misinterpretation, but that one has an element of truth in it, doesn't it? Lovely truth there coming through from children. Well, why should we be quiet in church, mate? Because a lot of people are sleeping. That's why you've got the masks on, isn't it? Yes. Why would people in heaven have ever-laughing life? Also, an element of truth there, isn't there? Do you like that? And then finally, this was one for me, as the preacher's sermon dragged on and the little girl whispered, Mummy, if we give him the money now, will he let us go? May God bless you all. Lovely to see you. Now, Phoebe is going to read a poem as a blessing for you as we leave here this morning. And I'll leave you to introduce it.
Well, it's actually a poem for all of us about friendship. I do try to write serious stuff, but it usually comes out a bit funny. Where would we be without our friends? They are the salt of earth. They come in many shapes and forms and give us hope and worth. Some friends are delightful and easy to support. Some are fairly difficult, with many problems wrought. Ours have a list of woes too many to recite. One cannot put the phone down, it's really not polite. Some friends are irreplaceable, but many come and go. Some we can't get rid of, and patience can be slow. Friends can be an uphill struggle, full of ups and downs, while others give us sunshine to replace our dismal frowns. We have no saint relatives, but we can choose a friend. But sometimes God will intervene and some new challenge send. We tend to stick with those we know. It is a human thing. But new friends can be out there and different choices bring. We have a friend who loves us and died to set us free. For Jesus' love is awesome and inspires you and me.